We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get inside into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
Hey, everyone, what's going on? It's the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Appreciate all of you for tuning us in. As we remind you, a couple housekeeping items. If you could like, if you could subscribe, if you could maybe leave a rating, that would be huge, absolutely huge, because we continue to climb the podcast platforms as we continue to climb in over the last couple of years here on our new platform, Art19, of 1 million downloads in just a couple of years, which is just absolutely insane. It's phenomenal. It's a tribute to everybody that listens to MSN content here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. This week, we're looking forward to a conversation with a great friend of not only the program, but the program, the West Virginia men's basketball program, and the Mountain State. Fran Fraschilla is going to be attending the virtual fish fry for Hugs, which, oh, by the way, is tomorrow, Friday, if you're listening to this as soon as we've dropped it here on this Thursday morning. Fran's going to be able to join virtually the fish fry on Friday, and he is going to be on the call for West Virginia's contest against Kansas State at the Coliseum. And if you haven't heard by now, the schedule gets reconfigured. And at long last, I think we get a break here from the scheduling gods and the Big 12 Conference, right? We're always getting the short end of the stick, it feels like, but West Virginia, of course, was supposed to do battle against Baylor this evening in Waco, which would have been the third consecutive road game on one consecutive road trip throughout Texas, but WVU doesn't have to play that game. Outright canceled that Baylor contest, and Baylor does have to come to Morgantown. So really, the ball bouncing our way and things bouncing our way for the remainder of this regular season stretch one run with four consecutive games. Kansas State Saturday, Baylor's coming to town on Tuesday at 5, and then we wrap it up before going to Kansas City with TCU and then Oklahoma State. So that's absolutely massive for a team that I think is really playing well and obviously finding their stride and shooting from the outside. And whatever choppy waters they had to navigate in the early stages of January, it looks as if they've leveled off and Hugs has them in a good spot. And that's what we want to get into with Fran Fraschilla coming up here on this week's edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. We're actually taping this in Ames, Iowa. I'm on the road with WVU women's basketball. They have a massive game coming up Wednesday against Iowa State. And then on Saturday, it's over to Lawrence. So we're doing the Ames-Lawrence swing. And then we return home for a few days only to head back to the Sunflower State and play a game against Kansas State in Manhattan only to return home, head to Waco. So four consecutive conference games for the ladies, who are 17-3 and at number 18 in the conference, an RPI of 12, coming off a hard-fought victory, had to overcome a couple of injuries to their top two guards. But we'll get to that here in a moment. You've got four consecutive conference road games for the West Virginia women's team. This is really uncharted, unheard of, unprecedented territory. The Kansas and Kansas State road swing in early January was postponed because of COVID issues between the two programs. The Baylor game was canceled last week because, or not canceled, I should say postponed and pushed back here towards the final week in March because of everything going on in Texas. So what we should be doing is playing on the 25th of February, the final regular season game, West Virginia, who's a little bit banged up, quite frankly, from a health perspective for the ladies. They have to grind out four consecutive conference road games in 12 days. Four consecutive conference road games has never occurred in West Virginia in 30 years. You got to go back to the 8-10 days in 1990, the 91 season, to find out the last time that that occurred. So a lot of factors that were not at all of West Virginia's doing here. They've been very, very good, knock on wood, from a COVID perspective. But the shuffling around has really put West Virginia kind of behind the eight ball from a health perspective. And if other programs were kind of staying buttoned up like WVU was, West Virginia's looking at really a nice break and a nice stretch before heading out to Kansas City to the Big 12 tournament. You finish the regular season on February 25th as things would have been originally scripted, but now you've got four consecutive road games, and this on the heels of Kaiser Gondrzik getting banged up, though we understand that she should be good to go in her senior day game against TCU. She didn't play the second half, so some good news from that perspective. All signs are her pointing to playing. But then Madison Smith, unfortunately, as Mike Carey told us on our playbook at WVUsports.com, Maddie's going to be out a few weeks, and we're hoping that she'll be able to get back up and running on an aggressive return to play for the NCAA tournament. A hamstring issue, obviously an awkward play had her slide her leg out. It kind of got tangled up down low going up for a rebound. This was against TCU. So the Mountaineers were grinding out that TCU victory up by 14. The lead was trimmed. They eventually prevailed by three. They had their point guard and their backup point guard, the one and two, both out the entire second half. So they had the three KK Deans running the one. It was an absolute mess. But a lot of teams, that absolutely pummels them, and they wind up dropping that game, and you point to that as an excuse in injuries, but Mike's team obviously perseveres. They grind it out absolutely, positively, the dirt under your fingernails type of win there for West Virginia. So they're in the first of their four consecutive conference road games to end this regular season. While the men look to keep things going, they'll have four consecutive home games coming up here on Saturday following the big 10-point victory over TCU. So, all right, enough of that. We'll hear from Fran after this from our friends at the United States Air Force.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. AFReserve.com.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today, tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
All right, welcome back to the Mountaineer Insider, and a great friend of the program, a great friend of the Mountaineers, and of course the Mountain State, and he is a pepperoni roll aficionado. I think we can easily bestow those credentials on Fran Fraschilla. Fran, good to be with you. Looking forward to having you at Hug's Fish Fry here virtually coming up Friday. We'll get to that in a moment, but
yep.
All is well with you, I assume, my friend.
You know, all things considered, I'm blessed. You know, we have college basketball. We're keeping the kids and staffs and coaches safe. And, you know, I live in Dallas, so we had a little weather issue down here last week. And nothing uncommon to the folks in the state of West Virginia, but any kind of ice or snow in Texas and people freak out. But we did have some power outages. We did get through it. Some Big 12 games, as you know, were canceled or postponed. But all things considered, I've just had a great season covering college basketball, and particularly the Big 12.
And, I mean, the conference this year, I think, has been out of its mind, obviously, with quality of teams, quality of play. Everything kind of got upended here because of those winter storms, in addition to COVID, and particularly Baylor's situation, which I want to get to here, Fran. West Virginia does not have to go to Waco tonight to play this game against Baylor. There was a lot of question about that. Instead, Baylor does come to Morgantown. As the schedule shakeup occurs, West Virginia is going to finish with four consecutive home games, not having to go to Waco, but yet the Bears having to come to Morgantown. Boy, did West Virginia hit the scheduling lottery here over the final stretch run, didn't they?
Well, if you listen to Hugs through the years, he would tell you that it's about time, because as we all know, the schedule and particularly the travel is not conducive for West Virginia. Coming into this part of the country as much as they have to, because they're part of such a great league. But the schedule turns around for Coach Hugs. He has no complaints this year, the way things are shaking out. But give them credit, because if I'm not mistaken, Dan, I think it's now six straight conference road wins. Maybe five, but I think it's six. And that's a heck of an accomplishment for the Mountaineers this season.
Yep, no doubt. You're 100% right, Fran. You've got the call on Saturday afternoon when Kansas State comes to the Coliseum. And then Tuesday, Baylor's at West Virginia. TCU then comes to Morgantown before Oklahoma State at the Mountaineers. They have terrific opportunities here before them, Fran. What is, I guess, the potential here for this West Virginia team? Because it was a little up and down, of course, with Shibwe transferring. There was some turbulence perhaps in January, but it seems to me, and I'm curious as to whether or not you share the sentiment, that the choppy waters have sort of leveled off and that this West Virginia team is sort of hitting its stride right now.
There's no question. There is no doubt about it, Dan. You know, it was a great start to the season, obviously, a great, great performance against Gonzaga, and then Oscar left. And, you know, as a basketball coach, I hate to put it this way, because anybody who knew Oscar thought he was a really nice young man and potentially going to be a good player, but and Duke is going through this right now. But you know, you hate to use this word addition by subtraction, because it's not an attack on the young man's character at all. But this team, in some ways, not always, because I think defensively he would have helped. In some ways, this is a better team because the pieces fit better when you have Culver and Shibwe in there. It's kind of like having two All-American fullbacks. You're glad to have them, but what do you do with them, you know? And in this case, with Derek Culver now having so much room on the inside because of the shooting on the perimeter, and this is arguably Hugs' best shooting team. Statistically, it's right there with the team in 2014. That team finished 17-16, by the way. But this team has great offensive weaponry, not only on the outside, but Derek Culver has come into his own offensively. So they're playing really well right now. They have resilience, toughness, and any time you can come back from 19 points twice in one season on the road, you've got some toughness about you. So I do think they're hitting their stride. You're exactly right.
And they may have done it again if they would have been able to just get over the hump in Norman in that loss to Oklahoma. Yeah, this team can turn it on, I think, Fran, with the best of them. Just flip that switch, and then all of a sudden these runs come out of nowhere. So that can also, if you're looking at it from a different prism, that can also be an indictment on this team. And that could be one of the things that you could say, hey, they need to rectify this because, you know, come tournament time, whether it be in the conference tournament or in the NCAAs, this is a quality that could potentially come back to bite you. Has this team gotten over that hump, or are they still in the process of needing to do that to just be able to play bell to bell here for the 40 minutes?
Well, I think, first of all, when you talk about some of the inconsistency, keep in mind, you mentioned it earlier, this is a great league. And there's actually opponents they play that are pretty good. And so let's go back to Saturday when they were down 53-43 at the half, a game I called. Texas shot out of their mind. And one of the things I said at halftime of that game is, I'm not sure Texas can play any better than they played in the first half. And if I'm Bob Huggins, that's exactly what I tell my team at halftime. Now, they went from down 10 to down 19, but they did make the comeback. So some of the inconsistency, quite frankly, is a product of who they're playing and how good these teams are. But I don't think there's any doubt that Coach Huggs would like to see at times a better start to some of these games, but you just cannot deny the fact that, you know, a 19-point a 19-point deficit could turn into a 19-point loss if you didn't have the kind of character that this team seems to have. And I've probably never heard Huggs compliment a team more than he's complimenting this team. So it does tell me that he really likes these guys.
It doesn't tell you that he's starting to get soft here now in his old age, and he's coming around. Is the tiger soft, or the bear in this case, changing his stripes here, Fran?
Oh, no. Tell me. Let me just tell you something. The bear is softer. I have seen that. There's no question that he has softened up in his old age. And I do think he's got great rapport with this group. This team seems to love playing for him. He seems to, you know, as I listen, unfortunately, I listened to the coach's show with Tony and Caridi and Jay Jacobs, and I try to get as much Mountaineer information as possible. And I've never heard Huggs compliment a group of guys like he's doing with this team. So, I think you'd say soft, or I think you'd also say that he's happy with the effort that these kids are giving him.
Well, I think your first mistake here, Fran, is listening to our coach's show, trying to get useful tidbits of information out of it. I mean, you could that's 2 hours of your life that you're never going to get back.
No, you know what? It's more comedy than anything else. I do. I listen for Tony Caridi's comedy, and every now and then a basketball nugget falls out of the sky. So, but it's more of a comedy.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I can only imagine what this fish fry is going to be like on Friday. More on that here in a moment as Fran Fraschilla joins us as we continue our conversation with him, Fran. You know, obviously the shooting acumen of this team is something that Huggs, as you alluded to, isn't all that common. And West Virginia has, over the last few years, had trouble getting that basketball inside that cylinder at times. We're not making shots. Yeah. We're not making shots. You hear Huggs lament that. Do you believe that this team, say if Taz Sherman is off or Sean McNeil goes cold, heaven forbid, or the rare blip on the radar for Deuce McBride if he has an off night, is this an offense where everything has to be firing on all cylinders at all times, or do you believe they have enough prowess to be able to, on any given night, still maintain that electricity that this offense can provide if something does go awry, heaven forbid?
Well, I think that's a key point, Dan. They can withstand, for example, Sean McNeil picking up two fouls in the first half at Texas, or Taz Sherman, you know, out for a game or two with an injury, or young Jalen Bridges put him in the lineup to let him grow up on the fly. That is the beauty of this team. It doesn't need to have guys single night. They have enough depth on the perimeter right now that I think they can. When they're on, now they're going to blow you out. But if it's a night where, you know, somebody's not knocking down shots, the likelihood is, just statistically, is that someone else is going to be making shots. And that's just, that's something that through the years, as I've covered West Virginia, has not always been the case. We know oftentimes in recent years they've won what I would call ugly with their defense and their offensive rebounding. And oftentimes their best offense was just taking a shot, missing it, and someone grabbing an offensive rebound. Different West Virginia team right now because they still have some of that toughness on the inside with Derek and Osaboyan and, you know, and guys like that. But they can knock down shots, and that's something I think that Mountaineer fans probably really appreciate because it's one thing to win ugly, and winning is fun, but it's another thing to win and play entertaining basketball. And I think they're doing more of that this year.
No doubt. And you mentioned earlier, and I want to follow up on this, about Shibuya leaving and how essentially that sort of streamlined this offense a little bit. That's something that Hugs mentioned immediately when Oscar left. And I thought a lot of folks were, and understandably so, raising their eyebrows at the comments that Hugs, he declared that West Virginia was going to be a better team as a result. And yes, no indictment here on Oscar. But essentially what I gathered from you, Fran, is the rare occasion where too much of a good thing is actually a bad thing when you have all of that talent and only so many touches down low that you can get between two really dynamic players, in this case Culver and Shibuya. Can you go into a little bit more of that from a coaching perspective, how at times, even though it's an outlier, too much of a good thing can be a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a really good point, Dan, and the best way to put it is if you're a fan of the game, all you ever hear, every single night from every analyst is spacing. You know, their spacing is great or their spacing is not great. And, you know, again, for your listener to understand, like in modern college football, having two fullbacks isn't necessarily great because, you know, offenses are designed now to spread the field and throw the ball downfield. And it's similar in basketball when you have four instead of three guys playing out behind the three-point line, automatically it means that Derek Culver has more room inside to operate. If you want to go down and double-team him, the guy double-teaming from the perimeter is going to have a hard time getting back out to his man when his man is open. And so that obviously seems fairly logical. The other thing is, the one thing you've got to notice about why Taz and Deuce have had such good seasons is they're not only great shooters, but they also are really effective at putting the ball on the floor and getting to the basket. And when you have that kind of space with only one big guy in there, you know, mathematics teaches you that instead of four big bodies in there, two offense, two defense, there's only two. And so that's why, you know, we say that. I pointed it out on tape on our TV broadcast. It's evident, and I'll tell you, it was evident right away in the game in Norman where they did make that great comeback and came up a little short. And then, of course, two nights later, they had the 19-point comeback. Remember, Jalen Bridges' great performance so far this year was 19 in his first start as a perimeter-oriented power forward. And since then, sure, it's been up and down at times, but the offense is definitely far better than I think it was even early in the season.
Fran Fraschilla is with us. So Hugs is sitting, Fran, at 897, and with the schedule configuration here, four straight home games for WVU, you never want to count chickens before they hatch or queer anything here, but, I mean, there is a possibility here, maybe even as far as a likelihood, that number 900 could come at the Coliseum, certainly hoping that fans don't have to wait until the Big 12 tournament to potentially see the 900th here.
Or until next season, Dan.
Heaven forbid. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely not. You have everybody find a piece of wood and knock on that wherever you may be. You mentioned that Eddie Sutton had to get into the hall and Hugs is going to be due this year. If he gets his 900th this year, I mean, it's just impossible, and it's a travesty if he's not in this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I've always been of the feeling. Now you're talking about a guy I go back, you know, over 35 years with. My days as a young coach in Ohio corresponded with, you know, Cuggs and his dad and his brother Larry, who played at Ohio State, a place both Bob and I coached. So I've known Bob a long time. There's no question, and I've said it many times on broadcast, he's going into the Hall of Fame. But I also felt that Coach Sutton needed to go in before he passed away. And I was grateful, and although he probably didn't get a chance to enjoy it because of the advanced years and his health, I do think that this is an ideal year. You know, Bill Self said something to me, Dan, that really made sense. I told him that I didn't think that it was wise for the Hall to put current coaches in while they're still active. And Bill agreed, and he said, but the only cool thing about this is my dad gets to see it. And, you know, Bill's dad was able to see it. Bob Dirt deserves to go in, and I, certainly hope he lives a long life, and I want him to enjoy getting in. And his dad is still alive, and his family is still around him. And his mom's no longer with us, which is, kind of why he does the fish fry, raising money for, to fight cancer. But I do think this is the year. I don't think there's another coach out there. Jay Wright's going in a few years. Mark Few's going in soon. But I think, Bob, I think this is the year for him. If a college coach is going to get in, I think it has to be Bob. And I always felt he was going to get in, but I never pushed it. This year, I think this is a year he should go in.
No doubt. It's just hard to deny an active head coach, with hopefully 900 here before a couple weeks' time. That entry, that would be so big for West Virginia fans. And always a big night for West Virginia fans is the fish fry. Unfortunately, we can't get together and do it in person. We're going to be doing it virtually. Fran, I know you're looking forward to the virtual fish fry coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I am, because, it's funny. Those of us who know the real Bob Huggins knows that he's not that, massive grizzly bear on the sideline that's always yelling at officials. The guy is a tremendous human being. And he obviously is he cares about his family. He cares about, West Virginia University. He cares about the state. For him to continue to raise money, to fight cancer for the hospital right there in town and at the university, and, it's just wonderful. And I talked to his secretary Debbie this week, and they've already raised $300,000, and we haven't had the fry yet. So it's going to be another really successful event, and it just gives you people in the state know the real Bob Huggins, but the people around the country sometimes may have misconceptions. But the people that know him, and that really includes the state, West Virginia, from Parkersburg to Charleston and everywhere in between, that this is a great guy in addition to being a Hall of Fame coach.
No doubt, Fran. We're appreciative of your involvement in the fry. We appreciate, of course, the love that you send West Virginia all the time. I think we can't help but feel, especially sometimes with everything that's going on with COVID and in the Big 12, that we feel as if we're a geographic outlier. And it's been about a decade since we've been in the conference, but I'm not sure that we feel necessarily that we're part of the crew at times, and there's moments where that occurs, but you certainly make up for all of the slighting that may come our way. So we appreciate everything that you do and being our champion.
Well, I got to tell you a little secret. I've been married going on 33 years, and of course I spent time at Ohio University, and my first date with my wife was at the Grand Central Mall in Parkersburg. So the state has always had a warm spot in my heart. Of course, Bob has too, and it's always great coming down and visiting and calling games and hearing Country Roads after a big win. So I try to treat everybody in the league the same. I know some fans think I get biased on occasion, but there is a special place in my heart for the WVU for a number of reasons.
Well, Fran Fraschilla is going to be at the Fish Fry tomorrow. He'll be on the call for WVU KSU at the Coliseum coming up Saturday at 4 p.m. We appreciate Fran, as always, for joining us right here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. We'll be right back.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. AFReserve.com.
All right, welcome back here. Final moments is we really appreciate Fran. He makes a number of great points about WVU. I could have talked to him for a lot longer, but didn't want to beat his ear too much. He was driving back from doing the Kansas-Texas game. He's got to get ready for the fish fry coming up tomorrow. Hope you could join as well. Also, Saturday, he's on the call for Kansas State and WVU. We'll be on the air at 4 o'clock, for rather 3 o'clock for the 5 o'clock blast off, if I'm not mistaken. And then WVU women's basketball against Kansas is coming up on Saturday afternoon as well, live from Allen Fieldhouse. So hopefully it's going to be great days to be Mountaineers wherever you may be, as TC would like to say. So for everybody associated with the podcast, special thanks back in MSN headquarters to Dan Quartz. Good to have him back in the fold assisting us with this Mountaineer pod, which comes to you from Ames, Iowa, the taping from inside a Hilton Garden Inn hotel room. Special thanks to the Air Force for sponsoring this week's edition of the pod, and we will talk to you next time right here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.